That song was good. Thank you, Don and Stacy. That was excellent. Just absolutely excellent. Let me get this thing on. There we go. All righty. Don't forget, if you're single tonight, the activity right after the service. Brother Bennett, am I correct that some of your folks are going to come out? Hey, good. Very, very good. So we still have an international service tonight, and then we still got the New Jersey Cousins. Almost sounds like a singing group. All righty. We're going to have some fun tonight, though. But if you need a ride tonight, just gather by the downstairs door, and we'll make sure you get out there, get you home. We'll probably be getting out probably about 2 o'clock this morning. So I won't be near that late. But we're going to have a good time tonight. Let's see. Zechariah, chapter number 3. Zechariah, chapter number 3. If you can find Matthew, just put it in reverse. Go back past Malachi, and there in you're in Zechariah. Go to chapter 3. Our junior high Bible class last year went through a Bible survey. Actually got through it a whole lot further this time than the first time. But, well, we skipped a little bit too. But most, at least in this part, we went through the minor prophets. And in going through the minor prophets, we didn't dig real, real deep in class. But in just reading through the minor prophets, there were just several things that just jumped out. Zechariah chapter 3. In the first 8 verses, some prophetic things going on here. Verse number 8, it talks about the branch. It says, I will bring forth my servant. The branch, of course, that's Jesus. And Joshua in here, that's the Old Testament form of the name of Jesus. Filthy garments, it talks about in verse 4 and verse 3, speak of the fact that we have no righteousness of our own, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John 2 verse 1, and he makes his righteousness our righteousness. So in this passage, there's a lot there that we could camp out on and we could preach on tonight, but there was one little section in verse number 8 that really caught my eye, that as I read through this, that just sometimes there's some verses that just, it's kind of like a stud finder. You're going along, and all of a sudden you pass it. You know, the thing's pointing to it, and you pass it. It won't go with you. It keeps pointing back at the good thing. And this was one of those times. Zechariah, chapter number 3, verse number 8. And the Bible says, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. I want to talk for just a little bit tonight on that little phrase, almost smack dab right there in the middle of the verse, for they are men wondered at. Father, tonight, God, would you do a work in our heart, please? And again, Brother Chase said it's no accident that we are here tonight together. This is a divine appointment tonight. And so, Father, you've got something you want done in every one of our hearts tonight. So, God, I pray you'd do that. I pray we'd let you do it tonight, that you'd speak to us. And, God, you'd use us in just a very, very special way. We do ask you to bless Pastor tonight. Mrs. Rogers, is there a way? God, give them just what they need for this night. But, Holy Spirit, please do something in this hour. And, God, please have your perfect will, your perfect way. And, again, may we allow you tonight to do something in our hearts. God, help me as I speak and help us as we hear, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Men wondered at. The word wondered could have several synonyms to it. One of those could be marveled at. It could say, for these are men marveled at. It could say, for these are men admired. It could say, for they are men at whom I am amazed. It could say, these are men that have drawn my attention. These are folks that have drawn my attention, and I'm leaning in their direction. Now, this statement is true for every person in this room tonight, because everybody in this room has somebody that you marvel at, that you admire, that you would say, for they are men wondered at. And that's true for every person tonight. And that person that you admire, you wonder about, you marvel at, that is what you are. That is what we are. Because that person that we look at that, we're eventually going to be drawn to them, and we're going to have characteristics, things in the life of that person that we marvel at, that we admire, to whom we are amazed, that are going to become part of our life in very, very short order. And that really is part of the downfall of America today, because so many Americans have the wrong heroes. They have the wrong men wondered at. Too many are amazed at the wrong person, for they are men wandered at, and they're the wrong ones. We give them the wrong attention. Too many folks tonight fail because we aim at the wrong target. They fall short of their potential because they hit the target that they're aiming at and wondering why it works out that way. But like the cliche says, you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Every person is a combination of these following sentences. They're a combination of whom they have wondered at. They're a combination of whom they have admired, whom amazed them, who they marvel about, who are our heroes. Every person is a little combination of all those things wrapped together, and that's what makes us, because we try to emulate, whether we know it or not, certain people that just grasp our attention, and we study them, and we very often become like them. There's no such thing as an original. I've heard somebody say all over and over again, well, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're a combination of every person that's ever invested anything in you, and you're part of all those people put together. We are influenced by somebody. Everybody is. I apologize tonight. My allergies are kicking up. My Claritin is working overtime. It's supposed to dry up your head, and it's also drying up my mouth, too. So my tongue sticks to my eye teeth, and I can't see what I'm saying. So that's terrible. But whether our life is a success or a failure tonight is going to be determined, at least in part, by if we're amazed at the right people, if we marvel at the right people, if we admire the right people. Do we take that little sentence, for they are men wondered at? Are they the right ones? Because our life's going to be determined by that. Do we wonder at the right men? At least one thing, it's getting clearer and clearer. There's very few politicians we could say we can put into this mix. Most politicians, they're either draft dodgers, womanizers, queers, the type that don't pay taxes, don't file their taxes, liars, cheaters, you name it. But I was thinking, I heard a report out of Indiana the other day. Governor Mitch Daniels, he's leaving office because of term limitations. But he also said that the state of Indiana now has $2 billion in the checkbook surplus, which being compared to the negative $2 million that was there when he took office. And I got thinking, I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that very many, 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 many times he begins his staff meetings in the morning with Bible reading and prayer. I wonder if that has a connection. The right men wondered at. In America today, we're too sports-oriented. I'm not knocking sports tonight. Don't get me wrong out of that. But we got folks that can tell you tonight. If I said how many points did LeBron James average per game last year? In the right group, somebody there'd be a dozen hands go up, and I say, I know. Pick me, and they'd know. And then say the one verse that you've memorized, John 11:35, and that would go right along very well. By the way, that verse is Jesus wept. How many rebounds did did Shaquille O'Neal have his final year? Kevin Durant, how many points did he average last year? What's his name? Guy down there in Orlando Magic that is dictating to the teams where he's going to play and where he's not going to play. We're way too sports-oriented. Now, sports, it's good. It's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But for me personally, there's not a member of the NBA that I marvel at. Not a one of them. Not a one of them. Major League Baseball? Oh, by the way, the only one I do marvel about is how the guys can play through 20 years of and make $20 million a year and retire and be broke and be bankrupt and have to beg for money. There's not a Major League Baseball player out there that I could say, hey, look at him, especially these guys that are in the mixed up in the steroid, HGH, and all that kind of thing. I don't know how they can look in a mirror and stand to see what they look like and then think back of how they're influencing America. And there's some folks in America that are looking at them, and they are the ones whom we marvel at and we admire. NHL, I always thought Gordie Howe was a cat's meow till I got researching and got listening, and he kind of pushed the rules about as far as they can be pushed. And then you start to see that, you know, a lot of the hockey players don't have any teeth, and then you figure out why. You know, it's just that kind of game. I mean, Wayne Gretzky had more, we put him up on a platform and say he had more goals probably than any other player, maybe more Stanley Cups, more MVPs. But right now, as far as I can tell, he's the only hockey player that's got his daughter's got pictures on the internet. By the way, he says, how do you know that? I don't know what they are. All I know is on my computer, they must be something because my clean internet blocks them out. By the way, does yours? I don't know what's there. I don't know what's there. But all I know is if I was Wayne Gretzky, I'd hang my head and cry. Because I failed. If I was Wayne Gretzky, he would have failed. I can just pick, you know, for all eternity, we're going to be shouting praises to the great one of hockey in heaven. Right. There's a greater one in heaven we're going to be shouting praises to. That's for sure. Nobody in the NFL, I marvel at, that admire. Drew Brees just signed a contract, what was it, 5 years, $100 million. I wasn't even all that enamored about Magic Johnson back when he was in high school. And I grew up just up the road from him, probably from where we lived at the time, about 10 minutes up the road to Lansing Everett High School. There was Magic Johnson at Lansing Everett. Sam Vincent was at Lansing Eastern. And those two went back and forth all the time. I wasn't all that enamored with what was going on there. There's dead sure no movie stars anymore that I want to admire, that I'm going to look up to. You know, I was thinking the other day, we only get two stations. We get 31 and 40. I was in paying my phone bill the other day and happened to look up on that little TV screen up there in the middle of the afternoon. Some soap opera up there, and there was something on that screen. I thought, man, you know, it used to be if that came on before midnight, you'd get arrested. But here it's on prime time in the afternoon. I thought, man, bless God, I don't want that junk in my house. I do have to hand it maybe one little applause for Kirk Cameron for taking a stand in Hollywood against the gay rights issue. Now I'm not promoting a whole lot him, but he is about the only one that would stand up and say, you know, this is wrong. And they are shooting at him a little bit, and he does say he has come out and said that if I, in the movies that I make, I will not get romantic or even touch any other woman but my wife. And I understand if you watch Fireproof at the end. You know, when he's standing over here and his wife was over here and they come together and hug, that's not the same lady that's with him through the movie. Because he said, I'm not going to hug her, get my wife in there. And that's him hugging. That's what I understand. That's what he said on the one TV show he's on. No secular singers I'm really going to admire, especially the ones that never learned how to sing the national anthem. I don't know, somebody ought to take those guys out and drag them behind a Jeep at about 30 miles an hour. Pardon me?
How many G's?
Just one. That's all it takes. If you got a big enough one, it'll do it. And the WWE wrestlers, the NWE, the AWE, whatever it is. Now, reason with me for a minute. Here's a guy in a Speedo that sweats. Grabbing on to another guy in a Speedo that sweats. What's wrong with this picture? Now, that there's just something there that just doesn't sit right. I can't think anybody in the Hall of Fames that really enamors me a great deal. I really can't. Except the one in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. There's Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. Those are the ones, man, we ought to look up to and say, hey, these guys did something. Zechariah said they are men wondered at. Have you wondered at the right man? Are you wondering at the right man, amazed at the right man, marvel at the right man, admire the right man? The success or failure of your life depends at least in part at who you wonder or who you wonder about, who you admire, who you are amazed at, for they are men wondered at. Let me give you a couple things. To give a couple, you know, somebody says, well, is this a person that I could maybe admire just a little bit? What do they do during the preaching? Say, who should you admire just a little bit? Somebody that listens during preaching time. I'm going to quote a letter. This was written by Dr. John Rice, dated January 27th, 1958. Dr. Rice is quoting Dr. Bob Sr. Dr. Bob asked Dr. Rice, who is that nice blonde woman on the front seat with the two little kids? Dr. Rice answered that she was the pastor's wife. She is one of the best listeners I have ever had. She listens so well, and she is so interested in the preaching in all the services. She must be a good woman. Listening to preaching. Hey, young folks, you want to think about, boy, I kind of like the such and such, this guy, this gal. Hey, first, before you even start thinking about that, watch what they do during the preaching time. Watch what they do in the preaching. If they get out a notebook and start doodling, if they get out their phone and start texting, they start doing something like that and don't listen to the preaching, just put a big scratch across them. Don't even mess with it. I'm going to give you a dime for somebody that doesn't like preaching. What is it? Didn't Jesus say, or Paul say something about that, about the foolishness of preaching? Yes, to confound the wise? Right. Yep. How about wonder at somebody that prays? Wonder at somebody that prays, that knows how to get a hold of God. Oliver B. Green was a well-known preacher that lived in the middle 1900s. He founded the Gospel Hour broadcast, was an author. He was a great preacher, fundamentalist of his day. But I wonder today where he would be if it wasn't for his sister. You see, because his sister, what if his sister had looked at that for us? They are men wondered about. I wonder if she had been amazed and marveled at somebody else other than what she ended up looking at. What if she'd got on the TV, got on the internet, got on some little chat box, and got hooked onto somebody else? I wonder where Oliver B. Green would be today. You see, Dr. Green almost died when he was 5. He was a terror most of his life, by his own admission. From the time he was 5 until he was saved as an older teenager, his older sister prayed for him every night he was home and begged God that he would save him. He did get saved. But for at least 10 years, she prayed for his salvation. Where would he be today if she had not done that, if she'd got enamored with somebody else and went off and did something else? Where would he be? Because it said that multiplied thousands of people came to Christ under the ministry of Oliver B. Green. Wonder who would be in hell today because Oliver B. Green didn't get saved. By the way, wonder who would be in hell today because you wandered at the wrong crowd, the wrong person, admired the wrong crowd, marveled at the wrong crowd. I wonder who in this room tonight would be headed for hell right now if the person that led you to Christ personally, if they had got enamored with the wrong person and marveled with the wrong one and got admired the wrong one. But see, then we get saved and we forget the debt that we owe. And that being the debt to get others saved, get them out of hell as well. You see, one thing will prevent us from ever being the soul winner that God wants us to be. And that's when we get enamored by somebody else and start marveling at the wrong thing. Oh, or somebody that says, well, if God wants them saved, he'll save them in his own due time. I wonder how many teenagers will turn out bad because dad didn't take the time to give them the proper influence that he should have, didn't correct the wrong men wandered at. Wonder how many teenagers will turn out bad because dad did not point the young men to the right role models, the right men wandered at. Wonder how many young ladies will marry the wrong man because mama didn't have the right men wandered at in her life. I wonder how many young ladies will marry the wrong men because mama didn't point out the right men for her kids, the daughters to wander at. Wonder how many young ladies and young men will marry the wrong person because they were not trained up in the way a child should go. And how many Christian teenagers will go wrong because mom and dad didn't teach that unsaved men are never to be wandered at. Wonder how many teenagers will go wrong because mom and dad didn't teach them that those that don't win souls are not to be wandered at. That those that don't walk with God are not to be wandered at. That those that don't have a consistent and godly testimony are not to be wandered at. That those that backtalk mom and dad are not to be wandered at. Those that criticize the preacher and criticize authority are not to be wandered at. Those that criticize the Sunday school teacher are not to be wandered at. I wonder how many young people would be turn out right if mom and dad, if we moms and dads would just do our job of what the book says to do. I say, preacher, you're putting a lot of pressure on the parents. No, I'm not. I'm just repeating what Jesus already said. Somebody will say, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. No such thing. You're a bit of every person that you have ever come in contact with. And you're a great big bit of that of the people that you hang around with. And you're a great big bit of all the people that you look up to, that marvel at, and for the men wandered at. See, you're going to be the person, you're not going to be the person that you decide to be. You will become the person that you decide to hang around with. Dr. Monty Watts was a local church evangelist. Came to our church up in Byron at least once a year for 10 years, probably twice. Sometimes he'd just show up. Always glad to see him. Unique thing about him was is he had Guillain-Barré syndrome. Guillain-Barré syndrome was a nerve disorder that attacked the myelin sheath around the nerves, especially in his case in the legs. From the waist up, the guy was a horse. Guy was stronger than an ox, but from the waist down, he wore braces on both legs, and most of the time he had to walk with a cane. Had to be very careful. If it got too cold outside, he couldn't be outside because he's afraid the braces would break. And he always kind of had to hobble around just a little bit. Couldn't walk real fast, but boy, he got around. He made it around. And over all the years I knew him, I never one time heard him complain. I never one time heard him gripe. Never one time heard him say something that would be derogatory. In fact, he'd come to the church, and our teenagers would hear he's coming, and they would almost fight over who gets to go soul winning with him. I should say he wore both plastic braces on both legs till just a few months ago when he went to heaven. And that brace is on now. By the way, about 30 years ago, they told him you have 2 years to live. So much for the doctors. You say, why'd you have him at your church so much? Because I wanted a little bit of Monty Watts in me. Dr. Tom Malone came to preach at our church the last 5 years I was there. Something about sitting about 10 foot from Dr. Tom Malone while he's preaching. There's just something about that. So why'd you have that old guy? Why'd you have him there? Because there was something in Dr. Tom Malone I wanted in me. Dr. Mike Cox came to preach for us when we were up there. Why? Because there was something in Mike Cox that I wanted in me. Every outside preacher that comes here, they're here for one reason. One reason especially is because there's something in that speaker that pastor wants in you. Ladies, when that lady speaker comes for the mother-daughter banquet, they come for one purpose. There's something in that woman that pastor wants in you ladies. And man, when you don't come, you're missing it. You miss it. Because those that look up with those that look at you, they're either going to walk in your footsteps or they'll trip over your feet. Listen, we need to quit looking at those whores and whoremongers on TV and the movies and all that garbage out there. And we need to get back to, for they are men. Wonder, Dad, who are they? Well, the good ones, the ones that we ought to have. The ones that are going to do something in our life that will transform us to be what God wants us to be. Biz Larice was here this morning. That's enough right there to make you want to enlist in the mission field. By the way, that's the kind of person we ought to be saying, I want a little bit of that man in me. When you're looking for that man wondered at, choose some people that are changing eternity and the future of people in this world to wonder at. Dr. Curtis Hudson, years ago, at one time was a pastor of the fastest growing church in the state of Georgia. And I decided, I'd heard him preach once or twice, I'd read his sermons in the Sword of the Lord, and I said, boy, I want to meet that guy. I want to see him. I want to see him up close. Saw his picture, thought, that's okay, let's go. So I think we hopped in our van, we drove down to Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University, a Sword of the Lord conference. And there he was. Wow. Heard him preach. Came back with a mitt full of tapes. And listen to him. Why? I decided I wanted a little bit of Curtis Hudson in me. See, I never got to hear Dr. John Rice preach in person. But I heard from a lot of other preachers. I listened to him on tape where I could. But I always heard him say, you've got to hear Dr. Rice. You've got to hear Dr. Rice. There's something about this guy. You're going to be disappointed when you look at him. But you got to listen to him. And there's something about it when he preaches. So I bought just about everything he printed and read it. Why would you do that? Because I want a little bit of John R. Rice in me. Dr. Carl Hatch was one of the best soul winners that ever lived. He used to live up in Flint. That's where he got saved. I believe he worked at the Buick plant. And every time, about once a year, he'd come back to Flint, Michigan to preach. And if I knew about he was coming, man, we went there. Because there's something about listening to Carl Hatch preach. Just something about it. You listen to the story of Carl Hatch, and it's amazing. So why would you listen? Why would you go to Flint? Why would you do that? Something about Carl Hatch. I want a little bit of Carl Hatch in me. Then I got to meet Dr. Raul Silsby. Dr. Raul Silsby was the man that led Carl Hatch to the Lord. See, I'd heard Carl Hatch's testimony that he pulled in his house and he'd get out of his car and there'd be a Baptist preacher next door to him. And that Baptist preacher would always yell over, "Hey, Carl, I'm praying for you." And Carl would just and run in the house. His wife would come out and drop the groceries or something. That old Baptist preacher was there helping her carry the groceries in. And all the time, that Baptist preacher, "Carl, I love you." Whatever was about that Baptist preacher that loved that guy. Because Carl Hatch, the one day, what really got his attention, he called his wife from work, and he said, "Honey, I've committed every sin there is in the book except murder, and I'm coming home today, and I'm going to kill you." Had he not fallen outside in the gutter and cracked his head on the curb, he probably would have. But he laid there and got to meet Dr. Raul Silsby. In fact, in my Bible, I've got Dr. Carl Hatch's signature there, and right underneath it, I got Raoul Silsby's signature. Because there's something about that Baptist preacher had to be unique to stay after a guy like Carl Hatch. See, but why would you keep after that guy? And by the way, when I saw him, he was up in years. I don't think he lived, but maybe a year or so afterwards. But so what was so special about that guy? I don't know what was so special about him, but I wanted a little bit of him in me. Who are your men, wandered at? I'll tell you what you are when you tell me who your men wandered at are. I would hate to think that a decision that's going to change your life would be made on the basis of a basketball or a football or some ungodly movie or some soap opera goon or some rock song or something like that. I'll tell you one thing did change my life. Jim and Betsy Reynolds came, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? We had the privilege of sharing a house with them for about 6 months down in Kokomo, Indiana. They had a couple rooms in the back. We had a couple rooms over here, joint little kitchen out here, sharing a house with a missionary going to Italy. And by the way, they spoke fluent Italian. They both were pretty strong-willed. And we'd hear them kind of, you did not, I did too. However it went. And then all of a sudden, they'd switch gears and they'd start talking to each other in Italian. And I thought, whoops, time for me to go. You say, what was so good about that? Because he was a veteran missionary. And after you listened to him, I listened to him and I decided, I want some of that in me. Good night. Buy some CDs. Read some sermons in print. Get some books from the good authors. Study the great men of the past. Learn from the great men of the past. So Jeremiah 5:5 says, I will get me unto great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So I don't believe in that. I know it. It shows. You are going to be like those that you are around. You will be like the ones that you marvel about, the ones that you are amazed about, the wonder that you wonder about, for they are the men wondered at. You need to wonder at the right men. You need to let those men become a part of your life. This is old habit. I started work for UPS in 1977, May 17th to be exact. And for all those years, I'd take my lunchbox with me. I had a lunchbox in this hand. I mean, I pretty near had as many packages with me as the package car had in the back end. But I'd walk in, and just right behind the driver's side, behind the bulkhead door, I'd turn, and up here I had a box. So I'd put my lunchbox up there. I had a little zipper pouch. I had my cassette recorder in. And every day, I'd find towards the tail end, right before I quit, I was out in the country way out by, in Ionia County by Portland, and I'd pull under a tree, about the same tree every day, and I'd sit there. And before I ever got my lunch out, I went back and got my pouch out, got my cassette recorder, set it right up there on the dash, pushed play, and listened to a sermon every day during lunch hour. I went downstairs. In fact, I did it just before I came here today. I got thinking, if I could have the money back I spent on all those AA batteries, if I could have the money back on every one of those cassette tapes. See, the problem with those crazy things are cassettes. They're not CDs. They're cassettes. I got all the cassettes except for one box. They're just kind of stacked in there. But all my cassettes are in. I bought nice little folders for them. 16 cassettes to a side. To fold them up, stick them in the box. 13 folders to a box, 16 tapes per folder. By the way, in case you're counting, that's 208 tapes per box. Wow. I stopped counting at 8 boxes. So that makes it, 1,664 cassettes, 2 sermons a cassette. I don't want to think about that. I'd be playing shuffleboard in Florida right now if I'd had all that money back. But wait a minute. Where would I be if I hadn't? Where would I be if I hadn't? I'm so glad God somehow, that night, I walked into the office and told, I can't remember who I told my supervisor, said, I'm giving you my 2-week notice. He just looked at me and says, what's the matter with you, boy? Okay. I had 3 weeks vacation. I planned it that way because I knew I was going to quit and go to Bible college. Went in at the end of the 2 weeks, took in everything I had, my uniforms and everything, put them on the table. I'm looking back, and I had a talk with the UPS guy here. He dropped off some books over at the school the other day. That guy told me what he's making today. Man! But if I hadn't listened to those tapes, God would never have called me to preach, but he would have. I would not have heard it. I doubt I'd be here. I might have a lot more checks in my checkbook than I do now, but I hate to think the thought of where I'd be. Because I'd probably have been retired by now, either that or out still driving. If I'd stayed at UPS any longer, I was going to switch over to feeders because they'd already asked me to switch. But I listened to that sermon every day. Got all those tapes. Well, why would you do that? Simple reason, because I want a little bit of Dr. Bob Gray Sr. in me. I want a little bit of John Vaprazan in me. I want a little bit of Dean Miller and Tom Malone and Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson and Monty Watts and Carl Hatch. I want a little bit of all those guys inside of me. For they are men wondered at. By the way, what you got in you? Too often Christians have the wrong thing in them. We're amazed by the comics. We're amazed at what's on TV. We're amazed, we're enamored at everything going on. Those worldly heroes, those primetime TV. I'm so glad today. On the internet, I'm seeing, guess which shows got canceled for the fall? I don't even know what's on. Honestly, I don't know what shows are on, which shows are off. I don't know. I can't tell you right now if Who Wants to Be a Millionaire might be still on in prime time. I don't know. We're too enamored with the TV stars and movie stars, romance book characters, the sports geeks, everything. We're too enamored with that. Tonight, for they are men wandered at. Again, what's in you? What's in you? I want a little bit of Roland Graham in me. Brother Graham was one of the guys at Dansville Baptist Church when we finally got going back to church again. He was one of the two deacons that was there. Once we went 51 weeks, once we went 53 weeks without a pastor. While we didn't have a pastor, he conducted the Wednesday night Bible study. And every Wednesday night, I can't tell you how many Wednesday nights there were, but there was a bunch. Working at UPS, living in Dansville, that's about a 40-minute drive. A lot of times I didn't make it there. So many times on Wednesday night, there'd be Roland, Marlene, his wife, my wife, and my kids. At that point in time, Barry, if he was born at all, he might be one or two, if that much. But he had a Bible study. The only one I could remember that really my wife told me about is he came in one night and had a pizza. And I don't know exactly how he did it, but he took that pizza and he broke it down and related it to a story in the Bible. And all I know is my kids came home and said, Daddy, you got to hear what Mr. Graham told us. You got to hear what Mr. Graham told us. What did he tell you? And then they explained it all out and said, wow, you got that from church tonight? Yeah! He taught Wednesday nights as if it mattered. And it did. And all he was a mechanic at Jackson Prison at the time. I've told you about this lady, Marguerite Cook. She was, I don't know, she never did tell us how old she was, I don't think. She had 13 kids. We'd try to beat her to the church on Sunday mornings. Most of the times we couldn't, especially in the wintertime. I tried to get there because it made me feel real guilty because I'd get to church and she'd already have the sidewalk shoveled. She'd already have the auditorium set up. She'd already have the lights on and everything, the nursery, everything all ready. I don't know. I was looking for a sleeping bag. Must have been there someplace. Mrs. Cook had the ability somehow to rip your lips off, put them back on before you ever realized anything happened. She was just, everything she said, you knew she loved you. Everything. I want some of Mrs. Cook and me. Who are your men wondered at? For they are men wondered at. Who are yours? Who is it that's got a hold of you? Who's got your heart? Who's got your attention? Who's got that influence in you that you're leaning one way or another? Maybe, could be right. Maybe it's not. And shut off the box and get the right men wandered at. Get rid of Sports Illustrated and get some biographies. Get the right thing so you've got the right things in your mind that you're being influenced by the right things. Zechariah said, for they are men wandered at. I hate to think tonight what would have happened if anything had been different. I don't know. I don't want to change a thing. But I still don't have everything inside that needs to be there. But I'm working at it. For they are men wandered at. How about you tonight? How about you? What's going in your mind? What's that tug? What are those things that are marveled at, admired, amazed? What are those things that are tugging, that are pulling, that are bidding for your very livelihood? What is it tonight? What's God talking to you about right now? What's going in your mind right now? God's talking to you tonight. Don't shut him out. Don't shut him out. See, there's something God wants in you that's not there. It's no coincidence tonight. Everything's like it is. Father, please do something in our place tonight, in our midst. Speak to our hearts tonight, Jesus, please. God, when we leave this place, help us to be different than we even are right now. God, please get a hold of us tonight. Please. Please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.